Hey guys, I just wanted to let you know that this podcast is presented by mybookie.ag and that if you use the promo code MATTEK, M-A-T-T-E-K, that you will get a 50% deposit bonus on your first deposit. And given that you are a listener to this podcast, I would assume you're relatively knowledgeable about sports, and I would trust you to try your edge on the online sportsbook. You can lay down some money and get in on the action at one of the safest online sportsbooks in the world. It's the only one that I am currently using. You can wager on all sorts of different outcomes on mybookie.ag, soccer, football, any major league, esports. You can even create your own player props, which is useful for me because if you know anything about me, I do enjoy a good player prop. So if you deposit using the promo code MATTEK, M-A-T-T-E-K, you get a 50% bonus when you deposit. And I will add this for listeners of the TakeCast. If you deposit using the promo code MATTEK and you send proof of it to me on Twitter, I will follow you on Twitter and you can have access to me via DMs whenever you want. That's the TakeCast bonus that I'm adding in association with the mybookie.ag deposit bonus. Now let's get back to the show. Hello everyone and welcome to another edition of the TakeCast. My name is Davis Matic. You can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. This week on the show, I interviewed Matt Franciscovich, formerly of NFL.com and now a lead writer and content curator for the Madden video game franchise. He works a lot with esports, which is something that has come up on this podcast time and time again, sort of as the future of sports and of content consumption. And I think we had a really good conversation about the intersection of video games and sports and how all of that kind of plays into the future of the world that we are all interested in, the world that we all care about. And so it was a really good conversation. Of course, please leave a rating and review on iTunes if you would be so kind. It helps out the show tremendously. It helps me out tremendously. I would appreciate it more than any of you know. And we will get into the interview after this quick ad. Daily Roto is a mostly proud sponsor of the TakeCast, a mostly sports podcast. TakeCast listeners can save 10% at Daily Roto with the promo code JANIS, J-A-N-I-S. If you are playing on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto will help you improve your daily fantasy results this fall and save time in the process with lineup optimizers, ownership projections, fantasy projections, premium content, and much more. They have all the good stuff that you want to help you make money at sports betting and daily fantasy. Their new lineup optimizer will let you build optimal GPP teams with stacks based on their projections faster than I can punt money off betting on Peter Uihlein. Sure, you can play the guys that I recommend each week, but shouldn't you also get advice from a proven daily fantasy winner like Drew Dinkmeyer? Yes, I do have better hair than Drew, but I also have his cell phone number, and that makes me a winner almost as much as it makes him a winner of the DraftKings Millionaire Maker. And it's not just fantasy. They have tools to bet on player props, golf matchups, and a customizable NFL game simulator for this fall. Head over to dailyrodeo.com/premium and save 10% with promo code JANIS today. All right, everyone, would like to welcome in Matt Franciscovich to the show. This one, maybe a little bit more indulgent by me, just something I'm super interested in. He is now working for the Madden team, and specifically what you do, I want you to get into it here in a little bit. But if you're listening to this, this is coming out on Madden Day, so I thought super appropriate to have Matt on and talk about something that has been near and dear to me since I was about 6 years old.
Yeah, man, I'm pumped to be here. Thanks for having me. I think it's crazy now too because a lot of the like NFL rookies coming up, like the game is older than them.
Yes.
Because we're in like year, I think 29 or 30 of Madden. So yeah, I mean, everyone remembers like Madden 2004, the one with Mike Vick on the cover as like their favorite one or the first one they played. And it's really cool. I got hired here like 6 months ago. So, it's been an awesome experience so far.
I don't actually think I would like football near as much as I do had Madden not existed. Like the two things for me, and I would assume the same is true of a lot of people in my generation, they're linked forever. Like the way I learned about the
route concepts and option routes and zone coverage. And like the way I learned or had the first exposure to all of that was Madden first.
Yeah. And the cool thing is that John Madden built the game, you know, in the late 80s to be an educational tool. He wanted people to learn the game of football better through it. And I mean, that's totally panned out over the last 30 years. If you talk to guys who are rookies now, they'll tell you that they'll have the same experience. They learned routes, stuff like that, strategies, playbooks that they can apply to real life football and help them learn the game when they were growing up. So John Madden, pretty sure he like majored, was an education major in college. And, you know, he was obviously a coach for a few years, but it's really cool that that was his goal when he built the game, and like what it's become is just this crazy cultural phenomenon.
Definitely. So for those who do not know, you actually had a pretty prominent role with the NFL.com fantasy department. In fact, I believe I was the first ever guest on the NFL.com fantasy football podcast with you and Harmon and those guys.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested, you know, how did that decision come about to swap from NFL fantasy to the Madden team? And then kind of, you know, what is your role with Madden right now?
Sure. So I was hired for, so I did four seasons at NFL Media / NFL Network. Last year was my last one, obviously. And the role I was in specifically was a seasonal role. So it wasn't year round. I wasn't getting paid year round. It was 7 months on and then 5 months off. And that took a toll on me kind of like on a personal level.
Sure.
Living in a city like Los Angeles where it's expensive to live. I live with my wife now. We just got married a couple months ago. So at the end of last season, it was kind of like, hey, we're getting married. You need something more secure. And I had done four seasons there and there was no commitment really from them to hire me year round. So I decided to look for something else. And you know, I love my time there. I built some great relationships with guys like Matt Harmon, Marcus Grant, Alex Gelhar, James Coe. We called ourselves the Fantasy Stronghold. And we had the podcast together. We'd be on TV together. We did a lot of articles. But I had make a lot of personal sacrifices to make that gig happen.
Yeah.
And part of, you know, I heard the podcast you did with Rich Rebar a few weeks ago about how hard it is to like actually get a full-time gig in fantasy football.
It is. Yeah.
And you know, even that, I work for NFL Network and it was full-time for 7 months, but they wouldn't pay me year round. Like that was even difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of great experiences there. And every year they were like, oh, next year. And it just never worked out. So I moved on and now I'm with the Madden team over at EA Sports. And I was hired here specifically to do competitive gaming, reporting, journalism, content strategy, as we try to build up the competitive scene here. So basically my main gig is I write articles about our tournaments. I write web page copy for the site. I do competitor bios. I interview some of these kids who are like the top competitors. And I'm trying to help raise the profile of some of these players, help grow the scene. And I've also had some cool opportunities to do some stuff with FIFA, which I know you're a fan of. And I actually just got back from London because the FIFA eWorld Cup for FIFA 18 was last week at the O2 Arena in London. So I was there covering that one too. So some really, really cool experiences since I've joined EA that I'd never got at NFL.
Well, it's also very cool that like the job you have now, it like did not exist when you moved to LA, I'm sure. Like when you moved to LA to do the NFL.com fantasy thing, your job like was not real, which is so interesting and so evident of how, you know, really evident of the growth of esports in general. Like I don't think you could have watched esports on TV 4 years ago, but now like, I mean, watching the, like, so I watched the FIFA eWorld Cup and like that, it was like one Twitch link away and it was just very easy. It was all over Twitter. Like you didn't have to search to find it at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's exploded the last couple of years, and EA itself has really only had these professional, like big money tournament leagues that EA has run themselves for like 2 or 3 years now, both for Madden and FIFA. So it's definitely a booming industry. And when I was looking for jobs and I saw this come up and I knew I was a candidate for this specific job, I did more research in esports and I was like, I got to get into this now because it's about to blow up. So I tried to jump on that train and you know, it's still, it's a slow process. You know, it's some people, it's hard to get people to buy into, like, and you had a guy who's a FIFA competitor on a couple episodes ago too, Mike LaBelle, I think his name was.
Yeah.
And you guys were talking about how there's this crazy generational gap. Like,
it's like nothing else in popular culture. Like, yeah. You know, older people, like people in their 40s, that I would say, like, rap music, right? Like, they're like, this is bad. It's not good to me. It sounds offensive, but I at least understand that it's music. I at least understand what it is, why people engage with it. But like, when you're talking to someone who like has no conception of video games, much less watching someone else play video games, and you're like, oh yeah, I spent an hour and a half watching esports the other day, they're like the computations that they need in their brain to arrive at what that is, like, just doesn't exist. It's wild.
Yeah, yeah. And part of the barrier there with like the other games like Overwatch or like those shooter strategy type games, like those are, you really have to be kind of an expert in the game to know what's going on when you're watching it. But with something like Madden or FIFA, people know how to watch sports.
Right.
So they're flipping around and there's a Madden tournament on ESPN, they'll stick around. But Madden doesn't get as many viewers on Twitch, whereas Overwatch, their Twitch audience is huge just because it's like a whole,
it's a whole world. Nature. And that's actually interesting. Yeah. Like, my dad probably, if he was flipping through channels, would probably watch 5 minutes of like the grand final of Madden, whatever that might be. But he would skip like Overwatch or FIFA or whatever right through, wouldn't even register. So that is like probably a slight edge that Madden esports has.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's sports and people are used to it. And, you know, we're, it's still kind of the wild, wild west. We're trying to figure out what works and what doesn't and what gets ratings during what types of years. Like the club championship final that Madden had last year. So it was at, I think it was like a day or two before the Super Bowl and they did it at the Vikings Stadium. That was the highest watched esports television broadcast of the year. And it was about timing. And then we did the Madden Bowl in April, which was at the NFL draft. And that was also on ESPN, but that didn't get as much viewership. So, you know, we're still working out, like, strategizing the timing of when to broadcast these events and when it works for us, when it works for partners like ESPN and stuff like that. So it's kind of, we learn as we do, and then we adjust the following season and see what happens and what works and doesn't. So it's a crazy time.
So how much of the skill set from working in fantasy football are you bringing to your job now? Like, I guess this is a really interesting thing. It's so meta, but like in the coverage of FIFA, there's both the conversation of like, you're talking about the player who's playing the game, right? Like, you know, John is playing the game, and then you're also talking about the cards they're using in the game and like the various, you know, things that the cards are good at or bad at or so on and so forth. And right. And I, that skill set from fantasy football should like definitely translate to Madden. Like, you should be able to bring a lot of the player knowledge, I would assume, to the content that you do with Madden now.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the main things of why I was hired for this job was my knowledge of NFL football in general, you know, players, NFL players. And I've been a writer for so long. That's just what I do. And it's really just about kind of adjusting to the competitive esports scene and learning the competitors. We call them competitors and not players to try to help.
Yeah.
So the players are actually like the cards in the game, and then like the competitors are the guys who are on the stick. So learning their gameplay styles, everyone uses different playbooks in Madden. Some guys are good at running, some guys are good at passing, some guys are good at defense. Just learning how the tournaments work, which can be really confusing if you're not familiar with the structures of them, and reporting on the big events, which is a lot of fun. And it's very similar to reporting on a big NFL event. And there's definitely opportunities like broadcast opportunities, which I have experience in from being at NFL Network. I did some voiceovers. I did some on-camera stuff and podcasting. And we did a Twitch stream last night for the Madden Championship Series. I did a voiceover for like a highlight reel of like the top plays from the Madden challenge. So it's really just translating a skill set you already have, gaining another kind of knowledge pool. Now, like, I have to learn about esports and a whole new pool of competitors. And these kids are like 18, 20 years old. I'm learning who these guys are and just translating esports, it's translating to esports broadcasting and journalism, which we talked about is booming right now. So it's,
yeah,
there's a lot of parallels for sure.
So by far the biggest change in competitive gaming in terms of sports games is Ultimate Team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Madden, like I want to say like 2006 to like 2009, competitive Madden was like on ESPN. They had like that reality show where they were like on the bus and they would go around the different cities. But like people knew about competitive Madden for sure. But yeah, it was all done in like the quick play mode, where like all you would do is you'd take, you know, the Packers and they would play the Falcons. And that was it. Like there was no adjustments. There was no upgrades or downgrades to the player. It was just who they were, you know, at the time. Or maybe they would do a roster update, you know, probably once every 2 weeks, I would guess. But Ultimate Team is a whole different game. And so I think probably 10% of the listeners right now have a conception of like what Ultimate Team is. So I kind of want you to explain Ultimate Team, how it works, and why EA has really chosen to promote that as the competitive game mode.
Sure. So basically, Ultimate Team, or MUT, as we call it, Madden Ultimate Team, you basically build an all-star roster of the best NFL players, legends, and Hall of Fame players to create what we call the ultimate NFL lineup. And then you take that team and go head-to-head against other people online to be like, hey, my ultimate team is better than yours. And the name of the game is to assemble a winning team. There's different modes in Ultimate Team, right? So it's basically why EA uses it is it's a moneymaker. It's microtransactions within the game. So you can basically buy packs of cards.
Like that is like the cynical view, yeah, is that the reason to really promote Ultimate Team over all other forms is that it's so much better for the bottom line to have people play Ultimate Team over having them play seasons or whatever. I don't actually know what it's called in Madden this year.
Yeah, exact franchise mode basically is what you're talking about, which is, you know, people are used to that, or like if you play with your buddy on your couch, you just do quick play. But MUT is something you can really work on by yourself. You basically start with a team of like, it's like an 80 overall, and you try to build your overall by getting upgraded players by either grinding solo challenges within the game, or you can go in and purchase in-game currency, whether it's points or cards, to buy quote-unquote fantasy packs of other players. And then you choose like, hey, I want to upgrade my QB from this 81 overall Dan Marino to like an 87 overall Matt Ryan. That will make me better in online play. And then in online play is how you qualify for these competitions for most of them, and you can work your way up the leaderboard and qualify for competitions. So basically by earning packs, you upgrade your team in the game, you have a better team to take an online play, and you have a better chance of sort of moving up the competitive leaderboard. So when I say grinding solos, there are challenges with an ultimate team that's like, hey, there's 2 minutes left on the clock and you have to score a rushing touchdown and a receiving touchdown before time is up. And then you get points, you get in-game currency for achieving that goal. And then there's also seasons in MUT, which is head-to-head online matchups with other players, which is how you qualify these tournaments. There's also a MUT draft where you basically start out by drafting an entire roster before you even play the game, which is, think of it as a fantasy draft, and then you use that team to play out a season within MUT. So there's a lot of different modes and kind of ways to customize your experience. And the reason they do it for competitive is because it kind of gives a fair, it kind of levels the playing field, right? So there are different EA majors in Madden. The Madden Classic is the only one where it's really one and a real NFL team roster versus another NFL team roster. And like last year, the Seahawks were the team everyone used. So in the finals, you would see the Seahawks versus
the Seahawks. Yeah.
And that's not exciting to anyone. So then basically these guys, the most interesting format to me is called the MUT salary cap. So if you've ever done like a fantasy draft that's like an auction league that has a salary cap, it's kind of the same idea. Each player has a dollar value. you have an amount you can spend. So it's, where do you want to spend that money? Do you want to spend it on wide receivers? Do you want to spend it on defense? Wherever your skill set lies. Some guys don't even use a kicker on those rosters because they'll never kick an extra point. I actually wanted to ask that too.
So like, yeah. There's this thing that exists with like FIFA where the game does not truly resemble soccer at all. Everyone plays the same formation. Everyone plays four defenders, one central defensive midfielder, two regular center midfielders, one attacking midfielder, and two strikers. Like, I would say probably 80% of competitive teams play that formation. Mm-hmm. And no one crosses. You know, it's all done really the same way. And it does Madden work that way too, where like the game engine is just as such that there's really only one or two types of play styles that really function well? Or is, because football is a more variable game, do people play different formations, different, you know, personnel groupings? Some people run a lot, some people pass a lot. You know, this guy never punts, this guy never kicks field goals. Like, I was very curious as to like the diversity of play style.
Yeah, and it really just depends on the competitor. Like you said, like last year there was this big kind of discrepancy in the Madden Ultimate League. One division was like high scoring passing. The other division was like a bunch of good runners and defensive guys. And then when they kind of clashed in the playoffs, you kind of saw who won out. And it was the guy who won it all was one of the strong passing game guys. But even within one single game of Madden, these guys are adjusting their defenses. They're adjusting their hot routes. They're reading defenses just like you would, like a real NFL team would. They have preferred playbooks that they like to use and go-to formations. Like last year in Madden, Gun Bunch was like a really popular formation.
Is like the create a playbook, is that allowed in online play?
I don't believe so. No.
Yeah.
Well, not competitive play. No, you mm-hmm. have to. There, but there are, like, you don't have to use a specific team. Like, there are playbooks like West Coast Offense or more general playbooks.
Are those in packs? Like, do you pack a playbook? Like, when you're opening up?
No. Yeah. Okay. No, those are just available. And, like, in Ultimate League last year, which we're not doing this year, but it was basically everyone had 10 regular season games, and then there was a playoff and a championship. You could adjust your salary cap roster and you could adjust your playbook for every single game you played. So like if you played two games and lost them both and your playbook wasn't working, you adjust and maybe try to use a different playbook and attack, or you do it based on opponent because you learn like the strengths and weaknesses of the guys that are in the league and try to attack their weaknesses just like Bill Belichick would do.
So from inside EA, is it just sort of known that like, Ultimate Team is the direction of the company of gaming as general? I remember in my experiences playing Madden before, like I stopped playing the game religiously probably 2016. But now that I'm in Ultimate Team, I'm going to play Ultimate Team this year. But the reason I stopped playing was that franchise mode kind of just leveled off, right? Like franchise mode, there's only so much that you can do to improve that game mode. And that was what I liked to play because I didn't even really know about Ultimate Team. And, you know, Ultimate Team is the better version of franchise mode. But inside of EA, is it just sort of common knowledge that most game improvement, most development needs to be directed towards this one specific game mode?
I think for a couple years, it was focused on developing Mutt, but the community feedback was so strong this past off season to develop franchise mode that they really dug in and improved franchise mode in a huge way this year. So there's like player archetype progression this year. There's all kinds of so there's different archetypes per position. There's quarterback, strong arms, scrambler, West Coast field general. There's for running backs, there's power back, elusive back, receiving back. There's all these different player archetypes you can use. There are coach scheme fits now. There are different offensive and defensive schemes. There's a draft class creator. I'm just going through the deep dive article here that's online. There's different depth. We've added depth chart positions for specialized positions to use in the depth chart.
Are you finally able to craft your own hands team?
I don't know.
Because that was always the most mystifying thing to me is the computer would like figure out the way to do the hands team would be like, it'd be the third string tight end, the fifth wide receiver, the third running back. And like, that's how it would slot them all in. But that was the only position, that was the only positioning, like the kickoffs, you could not alter who was in and who was not in on like the onside kicks. Not that that
so
was
one
like
of the cool things that one of the cool things that we saw in Mutt last year with our competitive guys is they figured out how to create their own kind of hands team. So like they'd call an onsides return and then shift the formation. So like the hands team would be up front, and then like, for example, a guy like Derrick Henry would drop back into coverage to do a regular kick return. And then the kick return would go to a guy like Derrick Henry, and he would just plow over everyone in his path and score a touchdown. So like that's more of a Mutt thing, is like really customizing your specialized players. But you know, there's, like you said, like there is a push, like our Mutt players are our core. Like those are the most hardcore Madden players because they are in it. They want the bragging rights. They want to play online. They want to move up the leaderboards and try to win money playing the game. So yeah, the focus has been on Mutt for the last 3 years, but this year specifically, we shifted back to focusing on franchise mode and really improving that format. I think there's been a lot of good feedback so far from the community on that.
Hey everyone, I wanted to take a minute to tell you about Apex Fantasy Leagues, the best place to play online season-long fantasy football for money. There is a skill-based format where you play 2 games per week, and there's industry-leading payouts where Apex actually adds money to the payout pool. They really ensure that the best fantasy players get the good return on their investment. Apex hosts 12-team PPR leagues that provide a variety of drafting options, live or email, snake draft or auction. You also have the flexibility to sign up for a league just hours before the draft. On top of that, Apex pretty often puts extra money from their profits into the prize pool to make sure that leagues get filled. Apex also offers dynasty leagues in a variety of formats. And finally, Apex is the place to play if you want to win big money in a format that mitigates randomness. Not only does Apex have the highest payouts in the whole industry on a percentage basis, but it also features both blind bidding, free agent acquisition budgets, so that all free agent acquisitions are fair in 2 matchups per week, one versus a head-to-head opponent and the other versus the league average, so that, you know, you don't get screwed when your opponent has the most points and you have the second most points. You're still going to come out of that week with a win. You can compete every week without worrying about arbitrary strength of schedule. Give it a try. I promise you will love it. Go to apexfantasyleagues.com today and sign up. And now let's get back to the show. So do you play Ultimate Team? Because I know like some of the EA employees are allowed to play the FIFA Ultimate Team and some of them are not.
I do play. I mean, I don't play competitively. I'm not
sure.
I'm not good at.
Yeah, I'm not good at video games either. Yeah. I'm very fine admitting I'm like the most middle of the road video game player that there is.
But I play it because I have to write about it. I have to know what's going on. I have to know what the new Mutt programs are and the new packs, whether it's a flashbacks or a legend or something like that. You know, the NFL replays. So, yeah, I play Mutt at home, and I'm always trying to – I got an NFL replay Ryan Fitzpatrick last year who was, like, an 87 overall. And I was like, really? I just grinded, like, 13 solos to rip a pack, and I get a freaking Ryan Fitzpatrick. Get out of here.
I mean, that's the name of the game though. And people who play fantasy probably would love it, cuz it's like it's just like gambling. Like it's a total gamble.
Yeah, and one of the new things we're doing this year with the Mutt Packs is we've released pack probability odds, which is brand new. So like, you know, the probability of pulling like an 87 overall versus an 80 overall during whatever packs you rip. So that info is available this year. And I think FIFA's doing that as well.
So like they do it on FIFA mobile, but I think that they are maybe implementing that in FIFA 19. I'm not for sure. Is there Madden mobile?
Yeah, it's called Madden. I think the new one's going to be called Madden Overdrive.
Oh man. I got into FIFA mobile for like, probably a month and a half. It just the worst time suck, dude. I had to delete it from my phone.
I mean, how much phone memory does that game use? I mean, the graphics are incredible for a mobile game.
But dude, it's like it's strictly pay to play. Strictly.
Yeah, yeah. And you're trying to upgrade like your training. You're trying to get the training points for each card, right?
So you can get like a 75 rated card and make him 120 overall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And which is that, like, that's why people get into it. People get really into it because they can kind of make whoever they want be great.
Right. And that's part of actually in Madden 19 Mutt, they've implemented that now. So you can use training points to upgrade cards that you get, which is really cool.
Yeah, that is really cool.
It's crazy. I mean, yeah, the Mutt team is our core and they're amazing. So they're really vocal on Twitter. They're always giving feedback of how to improve the game. Some guys are really critical and negative all the time, but there are some guys who are really like critical in a constructive way, and it helps our devs. And you know, some of our devs are on Twitter trying to be like, hey guys, we're working on this or whatever. So we're trying to be more open about communication too, which is a new push.
Yeah, that's like a very frustrating thing. This podcast is so niche. So like a lot of the people who I also don't really care because I'm really passionate about this. Like I really like to play Ultimate Team, and I'm really excited to play Madden Ultimate Team. So this is going to be my first year really playing Mutt. Hopefully probably tomorrow I'm going to be firing it up and starting. What do I do? What is my best way to like consolidate all the things that the game gives me to start off, like give me some grinding tips?
Yeah, so start on like the solo challenges. I think there's something called solo battles now, but basically like do a few solo challenges, get a few rewards, open some packs, see what you get, and then you can decide. Like I wouldn't take your team online, well maybe because it's brand new, but I wouldn't take your team online to play someone yet just till you get a real feel.
You legitimately
for it.
Like have like 53 man rosters right away?
Yes, you do. You do. So basically you have a roster and it's like an 80 overall, right? So all your guys are like 75s. Maybe you have a couple 80s. And then the first pack you rip, you'll get like a couple 81s, 82s or whatever, depending on the kind of pack it is. If it's a fantasy pack, and with the Hall of Fame edition, which was like a big pre-order, you get with the one with Terrell Owens on the cover, you get all kinds of rewards when you open it up. And if you've played Madden in the past, I don't know if you're signed up for Madden rewards, and I'm not trying to be a corpo guy here, but we're rewarding players who, if you logged in with your EA account in Madden 16, 17, or 18, and you log in with that same account in Mutt 19,
definitely did 16 and 17, 100%.
Yeah, then you should get, when you log in a Mutt, you should get rewarded and get an option of picking one, I think, 83 overall player out of like five. I forget who they are exactly.
The marketing this year totally worked on me, because I saw that like Randy Moss was like a playable legend character.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, yeah, I'm in. I'm gonna play this year.
Yeah, man. That's the Hall of Fame edition, I believe.
So are there chemistry styles in Madden Ultimate Team?
Yeah, there are chems. There's like deep pass or deep ball. There's like speed chems,
which just boosts like a couple statistical categories.
Yeah, it doesn't work like, yeah, exactly. So like last year, like the big guy was like Tyreek Hill because he's so fast. And then if you get the go deep chem and tier it up to like level four, he can basically burn anyone in one-on-one coverage, and you just bomb a deep ball to him and he'll catch it every time. So that's like an example of that. It doesn't work like chemistry works in FUT, in FIFA, where it's like you have to have players from the same club or nationality to have overall team chemistry together. That's a whole different thing. This is just like player specific chemistries, per player to like tier up your guys.
So now a little bit more specifically to your world, you know, I'm really of the mind that kind of over the next 30, 40, 50 years, esports is, it's really almost inevitable that I think it will win out in terms of like the thing that just like draws people attention, like that it just will become a massive part of content consumption in the Western world. So I want to know kind of about the current gaming competitive environment with Madden and also how you see it sort of evolving over the next 10, 20 years.
So a challenge we have right now is a lot of times like from the EA Madden handle on Twitter, which is an example I'll give, like, I don't know how many followers it has, but it's a lot of followers. Whenever that handle tweets out something that is in regards to competitive gaming and our Madden Championship Series, there's a lot of negative feedback, like, who cares about this? Nobody cares. Just give us codes for the game. Just tweet something out about the actual game. So there's kind of a big divide between people who just play Madden casually and people who are really interested in competitive gaming. So the competitive scene is much smaller right now, and that's part of why they hired me to try to help grow it and get the word out and get knowledge out about like what it takes to compete, how do you register, all this stuff like that. So there's a divide there. FIFA, and the other thing about Madden that's kind of a hindrance right now is it's really just in North America. I think there's a little bit of competitive Madden in Germany. If you live in Mexico or Canada, I think you can qualify. But FIFA is next level because it's a global sport to begin with. Soccer is a global sport to begin with. So the audience for FIFA and FIFA competitive is way bigger. It's on a next level scale. The FIFA E World Cup was in the O2 arena. You know, Madden is not there yet. So we're trying to build that audience. Obviously, the NFL is also trying to build their audience. They have games in London now. They have a game in Mexico. They're trying to expand and become more of a global sport. But I think until that really kind of breaks through, the Madden competitive scene will only be in America. So that's kind of, that's a speed bump for Madden.
Yeah.
FIFA is definitely a whole different beast.
Definitely.
Yeah. And it's crazy seeing like games like Overwatch and stuff. Like esports is way bigger. I think like South Korea is like a major hub for esports.
They fill up arenas for people to watch Counter-Strike.
Right. It's insane in other countries. And I think like there were 8 German competitors in the FIFA E-World Cup Final 32, and America only had one kid make the Final 32. So we're working on it. And I know you talked about this with Mike LaBelle on that other podcast. It's I don't know if there's an exact reason for it other than it being, I'm just assuming here and I'm just like giving my opinion. It might not just be as accepted in America to be like, I'm going to play video games as a profession, where in other countries, like, it's bigger, so it's more, the scene is more aware of like, hey, you can do this, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that makes total sense.
Yeah, so it's we're hoping it grows. We're trying to make it better every year. We want to grow our audience. We want to make our competitors into stars. I think one of the other hindrances is, especially in FIFA, there's a lot of turnover year to year from the guys who make the finals. So you can't sort of lock in on maybe like a top 5 and bank on them being in
the
tournament.
Yeah, there's a lot of turnover.
Yeah, so with Madden, you know, you've kind of seen like a guy like Problem Right, who's been in the scene for at least, I don't know, 10, 15 years. He keeps coming back. So Madden is more consistent in that way, where it's the same faces. But there's also a chance of like, hey, you're some dude on your couch. If you're good enough, you can in 1 year, you're a rookie in the competitive scene. You can really win a bunch of money and become a new face in the scene. So there's that opportunity as well. But I think until there's more consistency, and we've only been doing this for 2 or 3 years at EA, where there's more consistency in the faces, we can really build up their personalities, have people learn them just like you learn an athlete like Ronaldo or Tom Brady, and then that will engage more. And I think the other part of it is, like with something like the club championship with Madden, and basically each competitor represents an NFL team. And like you look at the 2K league, I don't think every NBA team was in on that, but like a good chunk of the league was. So we're trying to build support from the NFL to support the club championship. And this year we have support from all 32 teams. And I think a big part of it is attaching fandom say, hey, I'm a fan of the Eagles. I'm going to root for the Madden competitor who is representing the Eagles. So there's like that aspect of it too.
Yeah. Okay. So the best way for someone to begin engaging in Madden content, esports, the game this year, say someone is like, you know what, I'm going to give Madden a shot this year after, you know, maybe they haven't played it for a couple of years. Maybe they've had the game, but have only played franchise mode. Kind of what would be your selling pitch to get someone more involved in, you know, competitive Madden, Ultimate Team, just more involved in the game this year?
I mean, if you think you're good at the game, the best way to test your skills is the Madden Classic is an open event you can walk on. I believe it's going to be in Las Vegas in mid-October. You can literally walk on and compete with like the top competitors around the country. There are 4 satellite tournaments for that regionally. They're listed on our website, easports.com/Madden or maddenchampionship.com, that you can qualify for. So basically we're trying to open it up this year so that there's more opportunities to compete. There's more events. The season is longer. There are a bunch of smaller competitive events called Challenger and Premier events that EA licenses out to smaller companies. So look for events in your hometown. You know, just Google Madden Championship Series and see what you can find. And obviously, if you want to get better at the game, there are all kinds of YouTube influencers out there putting out tips videos. Just go on YouTube or go on Twitter and search for those guys and watch their videos, gameplay tips, and all that stuff to help you get better at the game, hone your skills, test out your Mutt Team online, and try it out, man. It's fun.
It is.
It gets addicting trying to improve your Mutt Team.
Yes, yeah, it does. Yeah. Definitely.
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 Yeah.
Fantastic. Tell everyone where to find you. Tell everyone where to find your content. And everyone, buy Madden.
Yeah, buy Madden. All right. So you can find me on Twitter at MattFranchise. I'm actually going to be doing some writing for CBS Fantasy this year too, to stay in the fantasy space. So, CBS Fantasy Sportsline, I'm going to try to do 1 or 2 articles a week there, 'cause I love fantasy football, but, easports.com/Madden, there's a competitive dropdown, go there, Madden News, all my articles are there, and, just find me on Twitter, give me a shout, and, we're going to be giving away a bunch of Madden codes this week. So keep an eye on Twitter, or give me a follow, and I'll be retweeting giveaways.
Here we go.
Thanks for having me, Dave. This is just fun.